Unit 21, Jane Eyre, by Charlotte Bronte. Mr. Rochester makes friends with me. I think Mr. Rochester is very strange in his manner, I said to Mrs. Fairfax. I am used to him. His manner is certainly strange. He has had family troubles. There were troubles between him and his father and his elder brother. I don't know what the matter was, except that it was about money. Mr. Rochester had a great amount of money from his brother when he died. Since then, he has never stayed at Thornfield more than a fortnight together. He does not like it.
Why not?
He thinks it is too quiet. This answer was not the whole truth. Of that I was sure. Mrs. Fairfax became uncomfortable when I questioned her further, so I said nothing more. Each evening we met Mr. Rochester at tea. One day a message came that Adele's box of presents had come, and she ran to it joyful as we entered the room.
"My box! My box!" she cried,
and for the rest of the evening she and Mrs. Fairfax were busy with what was in it. Mr. Rochester was bright. There was a smile on his face, and his eyes were clearer and happier. I had been looking at him for a few moments when he said,
"Well, Miss Eyre, do you think me good-looking?"
If I had time to think, I should have been more polite, but as it was, I said, "No, sir."
"Upon my word, you look little and simple, and yet you answer me in that way? What do you mean by it?"
"Sir, I beg your pardon. I ought to have said that tastes are different, or that beauty is not important." I was sure that some people would have thought him an ugly man, but he appeared to be proud and strong. He went on speaking.
"I want to be friendly tonight, and to learn more about you."
"I am willing to amuse you if I can, but I do not know what will interest you. Ask me questions, and I will do my best to answer them."
"Then, to begin with, do you agree that I have a right to be masterful? As I am old enough to be your father, and I have had much experience, and I have traveled all over this earth, while you have lived in one place."
"Do as you please, sir."
"That does not answer me. Reply clearly."
"I don't think, sir, that you have a right to command me just because you are older and have traveled more."
"Then will you agree to receive my orders without being hurt by my manners?"
I smiled. He seemed to forget that he was paying me £30 a year to obey him. "I agree, sir, because you trouble yourself to find out whether I should be hurt."
"Will you be content to do without all the polite forms and ways, without thinking that I am not polite to you?"
"I agree." He was silent for a little time. Then he continued,
"I am very imperfect, I own, but I might have been very different. I wish I had your peace of mind, little one. A memory without regrets must bring you joy and happiness hourly."
"How was your memory when you were 18, sir?"
"Clearly healthy. I was your equal at 18. Nature meant me to be a good man, Miss Eyre. I am not a good man, but take my word for it, I am not a bad man. Do you wonder why I talk like this? It is because you listen with so much interest and kindness of heart."
"How can you tell that?"
"I know well, and I feel that I can talk to you quite freely. Years ago, life did me a great wrong, and I did many wicked things in order to forget. And now I suffer."
"You could change, sir."
"I could. I could live a different life. But I am prevented. Happiness can never be mine. And yet I have a right to get some pleasure out of my life, and I will get it, let it cost what it may."
My master chooses his wife. I had heard from Mrs. Fairfax that Mr. Rochester had gone to London to prepare for his wedding, for she said she was quite sure that he was going to marry someone, and that it must be Miss Ingram.
When, after a month's absence, I returned to Thornfield, he was back again. Mrs. Fairfax received me with real kindness, and Adele went half mad with delight when she saw me. Even the servants smiled a welcome. It was all very pleasant, being loved by those around you, and I shut my eyes to the fact that I must so soon go away from them all. I asked Mrs. Fairfax for news of the wedding. She had none to give me. Once, she told me, she had asked Mr. Rochester about preparing for his wife's coming, but he had laughed at her. One thing was certain, he never went to see Miss Ingram at Ingram Park, only a few miles away. I began to hope that the marriage was not to be. Mr. Rochester sent for me oftener than he had ever done. He was kinder to me than ever before, and, alas, never had I loved him so well. It was one evening in the middle of summer, after a very hot day, that I went into garden to enjoy the cold air after the sun had set. As I walked the garden paths, I smelt the sweetness of the flowers. Then another well-known scent came to me. It was the tobacco that Mr. Rochester always smoked. He, too, was walking in the garden, examining the fruit or bending to smell the flowers. When he had his back to me, I tried to go away without his seeing me, but as soon as I moved, he called me.
It is a pity to go indoors on such a lovely night as this.
I could not think of any reason for returning to the house, although I did not like to walk alone at that late hour with Mr. Rochester. But he was quite at ease, and I became ashamed of my doubts.
"Jane,"
he said, when he had found a comfortable seat,
"you love Thornfield and Adele, and even Mrs. Fairfax."
"Yes, sir."
"You would be sorry to leave them."
"Yes, indeed, sir."
"I believe you must leave them, Jane. I'm sorry, but I believe you must."
I felt as if I had been struck, but I said, "Well, sir, I shall be ready to go when the time comes."
"It has come. I must tell you tonight."
"Then it is true, sir. You are going to be married."
"Exactly. You have spoken the truth. And if I marry, let us say, Miss Ingram, I did say something to you about it, then you and Adele must go. You yourself have said so. I hope to be married in a month's time. There is a place in the west of Ireland to which I can send you."
"It is a long way off, sir. It is a long way from England, from Thornfield, from..."
"Well?"
"From you, sir." As I said this, the tears fell down.
"Well,"
he continued,
"when you are across the Irish Sea, I think you will forget me."
"That I never should, sir." My tears fell. I could not continue except to say, "Oh, I wish I had never been born." But there was much that I wished to say, and at last, when I was quieter, I spoke with deep feeling. "I love Thornfield. Here I have lived a full and happy life. I have been free. I have known you, Mr. Rochester, and although I see how necessary it is that I should go, I feel as though I were going to my death."
"Then why must you leave me?"
"You are bringing a wife."
"Yes, I shall. I will have a wife."
His face was set and determined. "Then I must go."
"No, you must stay. You must be here."
I was very angry. I stood up. "I tell you I must go. Do you think that I can stay here and be nothing to you? Do you think I am a machine with no feelings? Do you think that because I am poor, little, and without any claim to beauty, that I am also without heart or soul? If God had given me beauty and wealth, I should have made it as hard for you to leave me as it is now for me to leave you. It is my spirit that is speaking to your spirit, and at God's feet we are equal."
"We are equal,"
repeated Mr. Rochester, and he took me into his arms. "Let me go," I cried. "Let me go."
"Where, Jane? To Ireland?"
Yes, to Ireland, to any place now that I have spoken what was in my mind.
I offer you my heart,
he said.
My home, my life.
You do not mean what you say.
I ask you to pass through life by my side, to be with me always. You are excited. Let me explain. I want you as my wife. It is you only whom I wish to marry. Jane, will you marry me?
I did not answer. I could not believe that he meant what he was saying.
Do you doubt me? Jane, have you no faith in me? Jane, it is you I love. I told Miss Ingram that I had lost my fortune. She wanted that. I would not, could not marry her. It is you I love, Jane. I beg you to accept me as your husband.
I was beginning to believe him. Me, who have not a friend in the world but you, not a shilling but what you have given me.
Jane, say yes, quickly.
I looked at his face, at his eyes. He was very excited. Sir, do you really wish me to be your wife?
I do. I say so with all my heart.
Then, sir, I will marry you.
Make my happiness, and I will make yours, and let no one come between us.
I have no one who can do so, sir.
I found her friendless. I will guard and love. God will understand me. God will forgive me.